God. It is interesting how much we associate call with calls like we heard that Samuel got. You know, that we have God's voice at some point speaking to us and calling us by name. Or maybe we associate those call stories with the fishing stories. That whenever you hear that Jesus has called his disciples, for some reason there's a fishing boat and nets and water and Peter, James, and John. And they seem to get most of the press around this whole call. But in the Gospel of John, we have a different story. John tells us about a different call. John tells us the call of Philip and Nathanael. Now, one of the interesting things about these two lesser-known disciples is Nathanael is only brought up in the Gospel of John. And at times they even say, well, maybe this Nathanael is the Bartholomew that we see in the other three Gospels, but there's no real sense that this may be the same two people or not. We are speculating at best about Nathanael's relationship in that 12. But anyway, the story begins with Jesus finding Philip. Did you hear that as the scripture was read? That Jesus found Philip. Now, I don't know if Philip knew he had been lost. But there are two ways that we find things, don't we? Sometimes we seek intentionally something because either it's lost or we want it. And sometimes it's we come upon things and we found them. We have those instances when we're walking along the side of the road or in the store and we find some money. Or we happen to upon someone and we can say, oh, we found them in this place. Well, that's kind of what happens here with Philip and Jesus. As Jesus is where he is on his way to Galilee, he finds Philip. And what does he say to Philip when he finds him? He says, follow me. Jesus hasn't done any miracles. Jesus isn't well known in the press yet. Jesus hasn't gotten all the acclaim or all the dispute around him. But this man called Jesus, comes up to Philip, finds him and says, follow me. Now there's something about Jesus that as soon as people see him, they recognize who he is. And they either like it or they don't. Well, for Philip, he doesn't really immediately follow because what he does is he goes and he finds Nathanael. Now that's a seeking to find. He seeks out Nathanael because he wants Nathanael to know about this Jesus. Because what does he say to him? He says, I have found. But here we are. Lost and found. But this is a different find. This is they have been seeking the Messiah. And Philip says to him, I have found the one that Moses and the prophets have told us about. I have found Jesus of Nazareth. Well, we're going to stop here before we go on to Nathanael's response. Because I want us to think about how God seeks us out, or how we seek out God. How each time we think that we have found the answer or found God, and then God just shows up in these miraculous ways, unexpected moments when God finds us, because we keep thinking we're seeking, we'll find. And then the reality is, no matter how far we seek, no matter what we thought we have found, what really happens is God finds us. Just as God found Philip and God found Nathanael. And in a little bit, we're going to hear what happens. Hold on to that whole thought about being lost and found. Because Nathanael has a conversation with Jesus that helps us understand how we aren't the one who finds anything. It's God who finds us. So hold on to that thought as we move into the next part of the story. When Philip says, I found him in Nazareth. Well, Nathanael, being big city guy out of Bethsaida, you know, thinks about that little town called Nazareth. You might call it Bobbitt. You might call it Rocky Ford, you know, beautiful downtown Rocky Ford. People think nothing can come out of those small little towns because obviously they're just small little towns. People don't live there who are smart or intelligent or, you know, big city people sometimes have that sort of prejudice against rural communities. And Nathaniel isn't exempt from that. So he has that feeling of, you know, wait a minute, the Messiah is going to come from Bethlehem, from Jerusalem, from all those big places and big cities. Nothing good can come out of Nazareth. And then Philip says to him, come and see. Philip offers the invitation. Philip says, you come and you see. You come and you look at this man. You come and you experience what I experienced when I saw him, when I was found by him, and your life is going to be so much different. Just come and see. And you can imagine how excited he was about it. And you can imagine he might have even been upset with Nathaniel for those harsh words. And so Nathaniel goes with him. He feels compelled to go and see him. It must have been something in that invitation that made him want to go and look at this man. How many times do we have to see for ourselves? How many times do we have to go and see for ourselves what someone has told us about that we don't quite believe? Well, that's what's happening here. Nathaniel has to see for himself. And thus begins this interchange between Nathaniel and Jesus about seeing and knowing. There seems to be something going on here about seeing and knowing. He says to him, as Nathanael approaches him, Jesus' words to him are, here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. They've just met. How does this man know who I am? How does he understand the very integrity that's part of who I am? And he asks, where did you get to know me? And Jesus answers, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. I saw you. Well, how can seeing be knowing? And it made me think of a popular science fiction movie just recently out called Avatar. I don't know how many of you have seen Avatar. But the greeting that the aliens had to one another was, I see you. And your response to them would be, I see you. And it wasn't just, you're right here in front of me, I see you. It's, they would look into one another's eyes and feel that the very essence of who they were, that is who they saw. And when this human who enters their world betrays them, they don't want him to say, I see you. The response is, no, you don't, when he betrays them. So when Jesus looks at us, when Jesus finds us, he sees us. And in his seeing, he knows us. Not because he has any magical powers, but because he is God incarnate. And when he finds us, he sees us and knows us in all of who we are. He sees that which we don't like him to see, and he sees that which we'd like him only to see. The things that we put out that we really want Jesus to see, but he sees the stuff deep inside, so he can say to someone like Nathaniel that here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. We cannot hide a thing from Jesus. He knows us, and he has found us in all our humanness, and he has loved us. So Nathanael hears, I saw you, and understands, and he says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel, because Jesus in that interchange, in that moment of seeing and knowing, is as revealed to Nathanael as Nathanael is revealed to him. It reminds me a little bit of that psalm that we have on the cover of our bulletin this morning, that you shaped me first inside, then out, and you formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God, you are breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. That's the Message's translation of what's on the outside of your bulletin. But that sense that in the midst of creating who we know who God is and God knows who we are. And even in our flawed state, we are still fearfully and wonderfully made. So that when we come to be found by God, we can say, as Nathanael says, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. But then Jesus answers him and he says, you will see greater things than these. Now, if we were reading this in Greek, we would find that he's not speaking just to Nathanael here. The you that is used is a Greek plural, you. So we have suddenly become included in this story. You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, very truly I tell you, all of us, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That we will come to know exactly who Jesus is. And for those who were reading John, who were experiencing this letter, do you know who they would think about? You might have gone there too. They would think about Jacob and Jacob's ladder and the angels ascending and descending. That Jacob got to see God. But Jacob, we wouldn't call him a man of great repute, would we? Where there is no guile. Jacob was a little bit more guileless or guile-filled, and he was called Israel. So for those who read this, there in that time, they would hear Nathanael as representing Israel. And that Nathanael, as Israel, again sees that glory of God ascending and descending and knows, not just sees, but knows that in front of him is the King of Israel, is the Son of God. Because this is what John wants us to really and truly understand. In the beginning of his gospel, he says, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. That when we are found by God, we know God because we know God's Son. And God sees us and knows us with his eyes and his heart and asks us to look upon him with that same loving heart and with those same soft eyes, that the world might see Jesus through us. Are you ready to be in that kind of a loving relationship? Are you ready to be that open and vulnerable to God and to the world through love? God calls us and asks us and sends all sorts of messengers to call us into that relationship, whether they be Philip's or whether they be Eli's or whether it be the voice of God. Are you ready to say, I am thine, O Lord, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Amen. Our hymn of commitment